One of the things that set the radical populists and revolutionaries apart from the rest of society is an apparent belief that money grows on trees. This is the humorous way in which columnist and political economist Ismail Lakhadin starts a new column in which he unpacks the issues of South Africa's growth ending up in the wrong bank accounts, and we're on the line to him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ismail.
Wa alaikum salam.
Would it be wrong to state South Africa's wealth is a free for all with conditions, one being the most important, that you have to be a revolutionary?
Well, I wish it were that simple that I can proclaim revolutionary status myself. But the point is, I try to make in that column, is that, you know, growth, when you talk about growth, it's become almost a swear word among the revolutionaries. If you say we need to grow, expand the economy, they say it's a capitalist plot. And then you think, but we had growth. Even those revolutionaries who are loyal to the Soviet Union, you know, will boast that the Soviet Union outgrew the United States for 20 or 40 years or 50 years. But when it comes to us, they think growth is a swear word. And then they go back to the gear policies under Trevor Manuel and Thabo Mbeki. And they point correctly to the inequality that rose and when we had growth. The point is, I'm trying to make there is we had growth in the country. We, until 2006, 2007, the country was on a very strong growth trajectory. But the Treasury and South African Reserve Bank can only do so much. It is their job to get macroeconomic stability, to get financial stability and fiscal stability. And then other government departments have to see to the distribution of the wealth, equitable distribution. So, you know, the government raises the money, the finance, the treasury, make sure that money comes in, that taxes are well managed. And then the other government departments need to distribute it. And the problem is that a lot of money went to land affairs, a lot of money went to education, a lot of money went to health, and that is where it got squandered. And that is where state capture occurred. State capture occurred not in National Treasury, not in Bureau on the Reserve Bank. It occurred in other departments. And so you have today all the dysfunctional departments are the ones that have been proven to be the most corrupt, the most poorly managed, the worst finance records, the worst accounting standards, and very many of them are corrupt, have been captured.
Yes. Certainly, you know, you've been referring to the revolutionaries now. When we talk of them, who do you see as forming part of the core group of these so-called revolutionaries?
Well, for me, they are the economic freedom fighters, of course. And then there's the small Anyana group, the Black First Landford. Now, they are really very small, but they have loud voices. And then there is the Socialist Revolutionary People's Party, Socialist Workers People's Party by Owen Jim, who's head of NUMSA. Now, again, they barely got 1% in the election, but they have a very large membership. And it seems that most of those people went and voted for the ANC anyway. But the point is, Erwin Jim leads them to along a very strict revolutionary path. So you get the EFF, you get the NUMSA, and then you get the Zuma faction in the ANC. So those groups are essentially opposed to constitutionalism, the rule of law, and, you know, stabilizing and fiscal discipline and getting the economy growing again. What they seem to forget is we had the economy did grow, but they squandered the money. And that's the point I was trying to make.
Yes. Now, you see echoes of how Soviet leaders treated their economy like their private property. Yes. And how the growth, exactly, in our country was squandered after, exactly, financial and economic consolidation during the presidency of Nelson Mandela.
Right. Yes, that's correct. So what we did is the ANC in 94 inherited a very, very bad, very weak economy. We must remember that by the mid to late 80s, the finance minister, Baron du Plessis, went to Puk Botha and said to him, you know, our country is about to collapse. The economy cannot continue. So that was in the late 80s. By the early 90s, we verged on collapse. So the first thing President Mandela had to do was consolidate the economy, stabilize it, and make sure that we had some growth so that we can start addressing the problems of apartheid, the legacy. So that project began slowly. It picked up after 97, and within 10 years, the economy was strong, we had growth, and that is when Jacob Zuma came. Remember, he first came back in 2007, and at that point, that's when our economy started declining. So it coincided with Zuma's rise, and of course, we should not forget that there was a global economic crisis, but the point was, that's when the problems started in the economy, and that's when state capture. So many, many people think state capture started, you know, if you talk to Julius Malema, he talks about state capture as if it did not start when he was in the ANC. It started when he was in the ANC. He has yet to account for the way he became wealthy in Limpopo.
Yes, certainly.
Because we all, it's very convenient to point to the Gupta family, as well we should, and you know, we shouldn't avoid that. But, you know, they're not the only people who captured the state. They're not the only people who raided the state. And that's the point I was trying to make.
Is there any state institution that can boast that it remained free from corruption and state capture?
Yes, National Treasury, the South African Reserve Bank, our Constitutional Court. These are very, very strong and very solid institutions. And that is why you'll hear the populists and the revolutionaries wanting to go to nationalize the South African Reserve Bank. And Malema has already started saying the courts are captured or the courts will be captured. So he's casting aspersions, and we refer to gaslighting. So what they're doing is those are the three institutions that they want to lay their hands on. And those are the only ones who I think have any credibility at the moment.
Ismail, as you write, that SA had growth, but the ones who are contesting efforts to once and for all stamp out corruption malamulation now believe yes. that nationalizing the Reserve Bank and printing money will solve the distributional problems that we have. So is that the way forward? What is the real way forward?
The real way forward will be to keep the South African Reserve Bank independent, to make sure that we continue to be responsible with money and continue to with social funding. Now, remember, we spend a lot of money on education. We spend vast amounts of money on social grants and social benefits. Now, a lot of people that accuse the government of being neoliberal tend to forget that neoliberalism includes cutting social spending, whereas the government of the past 25 years has not cut social spending. They've increased social grants by several millions. So we need to continue that, but at the same time, there needs to be stability. There needs to be political stability in the country, and everybody needs to be seen to be pulling in the right direction. So if you get a ruling party that is stable, a ruling party that is not hostile to business, a ruling party that focuses on social cohesion, worker rights, investors' rights, then we'll get investment, and through that we can expand the economy, create jobs. But for as long as you get these revolutionaries sniping, wanting a piece of the pie when there is no pie, and one shouldn't really think of the economy as a pie, but they keep sniping for more money, the revolutionaries, we're deflecting that money, we're redirecting that money away from social spending. Can you imagine if all the money and all the growth we had was how much we have yet to account fully how much money has been stolen, how much money has been looted. But imagine if we had something like, you know, 100 billion rand, how much that could have gone towards uplifting poverty and providing jobs and things like that. So that's kind of the process where we have to continue. And in the meantime, we also have to get these commissions and prosecutions to start, because then investors will see that we're serious about reform.
Yes, we really need to give that message loud and clear. Ismail, we appreciate your time on Radio Islam. Jazakumullah khair for taking out the time to chat to us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
That was Ismail Lakhadin, who is a columnist as well as a political economist and analyst, speaking to us about the reality of the revolutionaries who are calling for certain changes, how, in what context do we need to understand that?